Well, welcome to the Encephalitis podcast. This is our first episode for a little while, as our planned guests, as well as myself, have been indisposed and for some very good reasons. One interviewee lined up had to politely decline his invitation at short notice, as he had to fly to Peru to investigate an outbreak of Guillain-Barré syndrome. But he is going to be joining the podcast very soon, so do watch out for that. I guess this is probably an important reminder of the very important work that many of our interviewees do day to day, and their need to respond to the growing global threat of conditions such as encephalitis around the world. But returning to this episode, and it's a chance for us to talk about a seismic change of direction for the Encephalitis Society, so it's very exciting. This is a change that reflects how far we've come, I think, as an organisation, as we approach our 30th birthday in 2024. And what we believe should be our direction over the coming 30 years. To talk about this, I'm delighted to be joined by Philippa Chapman, the Deputy Chief Executive at the Encephalitis Society, and Bella Bardswell, who is the co-founder of a company called Stella Fay. Welcome to you both.
Hello, thank you for having us on again. Oh, me on again, I should say.
Thanks for having me on once. That's wonderful.
It may only be your first time, Bella, but who knows, you may find yourself here again. But before we get down to business and announce our very exciting news, could you both please introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about your respective roles? And Philippa, we'll start with you.
Yeah, so I'm Philippa. I'm the Deputy Chief Executive. I've been with the organisation now for about 11 years and seen it go through many, many changes. We were very small when I first started the organisation, around 300,000 income. I think there was only about 3 full-time staff members, maybe a couple more part-time. So we've grown a lot in those 11 years to now being nearly £1 million in income and around 18 staff members. So yeah, significant growth. My role very much kind of encompasses all sorts of things, as with small organizations, that and when you've grown with an organization, you kind of get involved in all sorts of different bits and pieces. But in theory, very much strategy, international growth, a lot of the kind of internal culture policies, that HRE type elements. They wheel me out occasionally for different hosting of events and speaking in different things when required, and mainly when Ava's out of the country, I step into the fray. But very much varied role, and I love it because I get to kind of, you know, try everything out, really. So yeah, it's all good.
Thanks, Philippa. Bella, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, hello. So first of all, thanks so much for inviting me. It's a really lovely to be here. My life at the moment is very centered around a company that I started middle of last year called Stellafy, and it's a startup mainly based around tech that is really focused on trying to help teams succeed through the use of goals. And we use a blend of technology and human coaching to help them get there. And the reason I think I've been developing a stronger and stronger bond within encephalitis, and I think we're probably going to get into this a bit later, but I've been doing a little bit of work with the Encephalitis Society around what your goals are, sort of strategically in the longer term, like multi-year, but also how you can get to there faster by thinking a little bit in the shorter term. So lovely to be here. Thank you.
Thanks, Bella and Philippa. Now, this podcast may be slightly different to others that we've recorded, primarily because it relates directly to the Encephalitis Society. So I might chip in occasionally and add my thoughts to the conversation. But having said that, and without further ado, Philippa, please, can you tell our listeners about the important news that we are sharing today?
So it's very, very exciting. And we've been working on it for a very long time. But we felt the time was right. And we'll get into this a little bit later. But that we've been calling it a strategic evolution within the organisation, which we rather like, because we felt rebrand wasn't the right word. So we are rebranding, strategically evolving. Our vision has changed. Our mission has evolved. Our objectives in terms of what we want to achieve as an organisation has been honed and refocused. And really, really excitingly, we've got a new name. Shall we launch into that now? Or, yep. So our new vision is going to be a world without death and disability from encephalitis, which I hope you all agree is rather exciting and absolutely what we want to see in the world. Our mission is rebuilding futures around the world by saving lives, accelerating awareness and driving research. And our new name is going to be Encephalitis International. We've had a different name in the past. When this organization started 30 years ago, we were the Encephalitis Support Group. It's still our operating name here in the UK. We changed that a fair few years ago to the Encephalitis Society because at that time that felt like the right move. And now at this time, we definitely feel that Encephalitis International is absolutely the right choice and the right move for our organization. So yeah.
I think that's super exciting news. I mean, obviously, I do, you know, lead an organization, but Encephalitis International or Encephalitis International, depending on where you are in the world. I've just come back from Canada for 2 weeks, so I'm now trying to get back into saying encephalitis, say encephalitis all the time. But whichever way you want to say it, yeah, Encephalitis International. I mean, it's absolutely super exciting. But Philippa, I wanted to ask you a little bit more about the new vision and the new objectives that we have, and maybe tell our listeners and our viewers a little bit about how did we arrive at the decision to create this new vision and these new objectives? What was the rationale behind that? Why is it important?
Yeah, it's a really good point. So this wasn't something we came to overnight. This has been a really long process. So we had a 5-year strategy in place that came to a close actually while I was on maternity leave. So anybody seeing a previous podcast will have seen when I came back, we talked about that sort of stuff. And when I came back, one of my main goals as Deputy Chief Executive in that role was to look at our strategy and what we needed to be doing as an organisation. We knew we needed a refocus. We knew we wanted to expand internationally because the world needed us. You know, we have people globally turning to us and we needed to sort of put a proper plan in place, which a strategy is. So it's been about an 18-month process, this, in terms of gathering information from our stakeholders. We had an amazing session, which I know Bella's going to talk about, that Bella facilitated with our board of trustees, who very much lead this organisation in this, you know, help us with our strategic direction and what we need to be doing. We had a great session with that. And then it all kind of fell out of there, really, talking to different stakeholders. We realised that not only that we needed a new strategy and new kind of projects and plans, but the whole vision needed a rethink, the mission needed a rethink, our whole name needed a rethink. So it came from there, and it's taken a long time to get to this point with lots of conversations, lots of thinking, lots of, you know, exploring different ideas to get to this point. And Bella's been very involved in that process pretty much from word go. So yeah.
Well, Bella, let's talk a little bit about that. You know, as Philippa said, you've been involved in the process from the beginning. Can you tell me a little bit about your role and how you helped the Encephalitis Society kind of get to where we've got to be making this important announcement at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've been very much someone that occasionally asked a difficult, possibly stupid question that set cogs whirring in the very clever people that work on your board and in your organization's minds that have led to this. And so maybe the biggest word I'd use is I've helped facilitate or nudge some of those conversations along. But I just want to be clear, I've been a very small role. It's like the vision's really coming from the people that understand the problems and understand what the impact you're trying to have on the world. The thing that really struck me right from the get-go, and I've been involved as a recipient of some of the good work you do for a very long time. Back in 2021, when I was 21, back in the year 2000, I contracted Epstein-Barr encephalitis. That was a touch and go experience. My parents were told to expect the worst, but I was one of the lucky ones, and we do have those cases. And because of that and being involved, and that was when you were just the support group, your first name, but my dad actually discovered you, and then I've sort of followed you, and as I've sort of developed skills and learned through my life, I've started to realise just how fortunate I am and just how important the work you do is. So, I sort of got in touch with Ava a little while ago when I decided to start my company, I recognised I'd reached the point in my life where I had the freedom to try and do more with my skills that I'd evolved. And a few conversations with friends made me realise that actually I had something that might be useful to other people. And that prompted me to get in touch with Ava. And then Ava was really the one that joined the dots between my experience and what could be useful, and invited me along to come to this board meeting. And back there, I think there were the beginnings of is our ambition reflected by how we currently project ourselves? I remember that conversation sort of happening in the room, and we talked about objectives, and there was an element of are these the right ones and challenging ourselves, but it was that first sort of first step. And the goal of that day was really to start to build what's the outcomes that you want to achieve in the next 3 to 5 years, and what will the impact of those be on the people that you help, either directly or indirectly. And through you know, your research, or directly helping people and those affected by encephalitis. And I think that sort of initiated a journey. And I think that idea of thinking about outcomes and goals seemed to strike a chord with you. And so that then led to actually what's become quite a close working relationship between Philippa and I. We speak quite a lot, and starting to break down, while Philippa was doing all the big, hard strategic thinking, breaking that down and trying to get some structure and iterating through what that future could look like, how bold you want to be. And I think that was the bit where I asked some of the, I'm going to say, deeply piercing questions, but they could also be classed as just dumb questions. But sometimes that's useful to have that person in the room that asks the question that no one else is, because I'm not quite so involved in the day-to-day. And I remember in one of our sessions, Philippa, we talked about why aren't you just trying to eliminate encephalitis? Why are we just trying to slightly improve or make everyone aware? Can it be a bigger, bolder goal? And then here we are. That is now. That is the plan. So this has been a journey over a year, and a lot of thought, a lot of iteration has gone into that. But I think my role has just been having a look at where you've got to and trying to nudge and shape as you've gone along.
I think it's such an important role to have somebody, you know, who does facilitate a process like this, who's external to the organisation. But we were doubly lucky with you because you also had a vested interest in our organisation, and you understood from a personal point of view the impact that we can have. So I think we were particularly lucky. But I think sometimes when you're, you know, but as Philippa said, Philippa's been with the organisation 11 years. I've been with us a lot longer. I think when you're living, eating, working, breathing it, all of those things, you can just be simply too much in it to be able to ask some of what you described, Bella, as the dumb questions. But I don't think they're the dumb questions. I think we need to go back to basics when you start to want to do a project as big as this one that we've been through over the last 18 months. Philippa, I'll turn to you. I'll ask you both this question, but what can you tell us about the new medium to long-term strategic objectives for Encephalitis International? What are they?
Well, it's a really good question. And again, they've taken, you know, a while to come to, in terms of, you know, Bella and I sat in London in a little space with so many sticky notes, just trying to unravel what we do and what's important from all of the conversations I'd had with the various different kind of stakeholders, to really understand what is it that we're trying to achieve. And we've sort of, you know, Bella alluded to it, you know, with the vision saying, you know, this big bold, we want a world, you know, without death and disability. That's a massive bold statement, and certainly nothing we're going to see achieved in the next 3 to 5 years. But if we're trying to achieve that, if we're thinking big, what are the steps that will actually make a difference there? And all of the conversations from our members to our board to our volunteers were talking about they wanted to save lives. And the best way to do that was because health professionals still don't fully understand encephalitis. Either they haven't got enough education in it, they haven't got the right resources in place. So it became very much focused on, that is our core way of saving lives. That's if we can get health professionals, the people that are diagnosing, treating, all of that, fully informed and up to date on encephalitis, we're going to see massive changes in the world. So educate is our first objective, and educating health professionals specifically. So we can't do everything. We've got limited resource and we've got a whole globe to sort out. So we really needed to be focused and tight on exactly what that was going to be. And for the next 3 to 5 years, that has to be health professionals. Our next objective is empower. And that's very much as people understand it before. It was our support work. But we love the word empower because it isn't about us whole, you know, doing everything for our membership and people being affected. We want to give them the tools and the skills to rebuild their own lives. And we see very clearly that the two ways that we can do that is giving them access to expert information, the top, most up-to-date, research rigorous, scientifically rigorous information, make sure that they have that in accessible formats, and then to connect people that have been affected by encephalitis. And they're the two ways that we can empower people in our encephalitis community to rebuild their lives. Expand was our next objective. And that's because we need more research. We need more people understanding the impact of encephalitis, particularly in the scientific community. If we don't have research going on, we're not going to see improvements in encephalitis because there's no one, you know, and Ava will talk much more eloquently than I around the fact that there isn't enough research going into encephalitis. So how will we get new treatments, understand what the causes are and all the different ways that we can help save lives? So we need to make sure that's happening. So that is kind of what was our old research, kind of, you know, support, awareness and research. Those were those three, but they've kind of been refocused and realigned. Our next two are scale and fund. So scale is the whole project around we're international. We need more people to know that we're international. We need to have a really clear plan on what we're going to do to be more international. We recognise that we are still, we're based in the UK and we're doing UK events, but that's changing over these next 3 to 5 years in terms of what we're going to be delivering globally. And then fund, we can't do it without money. Someone's got to give us some money to do this. So it's really important that is one of our strategic objectives. We do have to put time, money and resource into that. If we don't inspire people to give to our work, we're not going to exist in the next, you know, 5-10 years. We need that money. So we need to make sure that it's a priority in our work. As much as many people don't like charities to talk about that kind of thing, but we, you know, it's a part of life. A business can talk about generating sales. We need to talk about generating funds. So so that's us. Educate, empower, expand, scale and fund. Those are our new objectives.
Thanks, Philippa. I think that's so exciting and I love the alliteration that was going on there. Encephalitis International, educate, empower, expand and then scale and fund. And I think you're quite right. I mean, we've both had many conversations about funding and the fact that charities are is supposed to operate in some kind of, you know, under the radar way. But at the end of the day, we are operating a business and our product is saving lives. And that costs money. Well, I think I'll turn to you, Bella, and then Philippa. So Bella, what has the process been like from your perspective before we hear the same from Philippa? What were the challenges that you think were encountered during this process?
So the process of working with you has been phenomenal. It's been really, really inspiring that you're an organization that punches well above your weight for your size. And it's been really, really exciting to sort of get into the detail and to hear some of the ideas and the ideas you've got to have more impact. With that comes a challenge. You've got a team of bright, motivated people, this incredibly inspiring vision. How do you choose what you do? And then how do you choose what you don't do to make sure that you narrow that focus and really have the impact that you want to in the time you want to? And I think that's been one of the most challenging elements of this process, is starting to go make those calls, challenging more for Philippa than and I think the rest of you than me. But I was the one saying you've got to narrow it down. You've got to limit and make some priority calls. But actually, I think that's going to have a huge impact in terms of how you then go about the next few years and what you achieve. The other thing that's been really interesting about this process is how bold it's still possible to be, even when you've got these really, really like saving lives. I mean, it doesn't get more serious than that. But there's actually loads and loads of options to go in there and go, how can we, okay, so this is what we do at the moment. How can we push further? How can we stretch further and achieve something bigger than what we've done today? We don't want to just keep doing what we're doing. We want to double, triple the impact we're having. And that's been a really, really interesting process, and working through how, what goals you're going to set, but the measures, where you're going to get to. And that's been a really key part of what Philippa and I have done. It's not just about setting, these are the lofty things we're going to do in 3 to 5 years. Look at our pretty strategy paper, everyone. This is serious. Now you've got to go and deliver on that. And so a way of knowing, are you on track? Are you making progress? Is to use measures and to regularly go in. And actually yesterday, there was a real flurry of updates from one of your team on all the progress you're already making on those key results that tell you whether you're getting to your outcomes. And that's brilliant. That's a way in which you know, are we on track? Are we ahead of track or are we behind? What do we need to change to make sure we get where we're going? So that's been a really, really amazing process, going through and just figuring out how to make it really hard to reach them and making sure it's measurable. And then the last thing that's been really, really lovely about working with encephalitis, and this is a bit of a silly one, but people are always late to meetings in the world, but you are always early, I've noticed. And that's been wonderful, because I thought it's a real bugbear of mine when people are late, because if you've got seven people in a meeting and you're late and you're 5 minutes late, so that's half an hour wasted. And if you multiply that out, so I just think that's brilliant. And it's good to know that encephalitis aren't wasting any half an hour with hitting their outcomes. So yeah, it's been a brilliant process.
Oh, Bella, thank you. That last thing makes my heart sing. They have a chief executive that can't stand people being late to meetings. So Philippa has developed this policy among all of the staff that everybody has to be there 5 minutes before. Otherwise, they get grumpy faced here.
I see.
But I agree with you. Why are people late to meetings? It's not, you know, I'm afraid I'm old school.
This is where Philippa throws in neurodiversity and just say, you know, some people have, you know, it's difficulty with time management. That's why we have the 5 minute rule, so people can, anyway.
Anyway, I'm delighted to know that they're not being late for meetings, and not just the ones that I'm at. So happy days. But you said some great stuff there around being, I mean, the word bold has been mentioned several times during the podcast. And I think that that's a really important word. And I think bold is certainly one of the things that the Encephalitis Society, or now Encephalitis International, always has been. I think we do take risks. But I think the other thing that resonated for me was, you know, what do you drop when you're doing things like this? And I think it's very difficult for a passionate organisation to be bold enough to actually decide what you're going to drop. And I'll preempt Philippa. I'm going to ask Philippa in a minute what the challenges were from her perspective, but it doesn't help them sometimes that they have a rogue chief executive that just gets random ideas sometimes and decides to forge ahead with them. So she's always very stern with me, and has been more stern since we have this new structure in place, where I'm having to justify whether what I'm suggesting comes under educate, empower, expand, scale, or fund. So I'm having to be ever more elaborate in my brain
I think my work here is done. She's got it.
Right, 100%. But Philippa, you know, from you, before we move on to the next questions, you know, what were the challenges from your perspective? Because I think you'll come from a very different perspective to that of Bella.
Yeah, I mean, I think with a big project like this, there's always, you know, it's hard to take yourself out, and thankfully we had Bella to help us do that, but take yourself out and look at that bigger picture. I've worked here for 11 years. There's some projects that we're putting on hold because they don't meet these new objectives that, you know, I'm passionate about and love. And I know you feel the same way about some of the things that, you know, we're having to be bold enough to stop doing. And it's not that we don't think there was good work there. It's just that we need to refocus our energies on that really important stuff. So that's always a challenge. I think bringing the team along on this journey is always not a challenge because they're motivated and super passionate people, but it's a whole change of the way that we're thinking. The key results, you know, the kind of objectives and the key, you know, those measurements that Bella was mentioning, they're very different. We're looking at some very kind of different ways of measuring our work. We're not getting kind of stuck in the detail. We're looking at that overarching. Is this genuinely moving the needle towards, you know, a world without encephalitis, in essence? And so that's really important. And that's been a whole change of culture. And we're using it as a tool as well throughout the organization. So OKRs that we talk about, kind of the jargon of OKRs, it's not just, it's now, it's forming our kind of working culture. So it's how we, not performance managed, because that makes it sound very brutal, but it's how we know what we're going to achieve each year on an individual level, as well as an organizational level. So that's been a whole change and a process and kind of understanding how we're going to do that. We've certainly wanted to make sure that we're getting the language right and that it is inclusive, that we are recognizing our deficits in diversity and inclusion and all of those different things. We, you know, we're talking about being international. Well, the world doesn't speak English. The world doesn't have the same cultural norms that we maybe as a staff team have. And all of those things, we recognize there's lots of work to do in there. And to be honest, this has been great because it's helped power a lot of our other kind of strategy, you know, internal kind of thinkings in where we need to improve and understand and do more. So yeah, there have definitely been some of the challenges in this, and just kind of, it's a whole overhaul of an organization, and even getting used to, I was doing some filming the other day, sort of preemptive, that's going to come post our launch of the rebrand, and could I get the name right? I kept saying the Encephalitis International, and it was just, you know, so even just on a kind of really simple level, just getting used to saying it, you know, we're used to saying, you know, the, you know, ES in wording, and now it's going to be EI, and it's just little things like that have also become a bit of a challenge. But we're all really excited. We've already been planning new merch and all sorts of different things, and yeah, so it's exciting alongside being, you know, little challenges here and there.
Well, for our listeners and our audience, Philippa, you used an acronym there, an OKR. Do you just want to tell us what an OKR is, just so that people understand?
Well, I think Bella's better answering this, but is it objective and key results? So this is basic. So Bella's amazing company, Stellify, has this system that we are utilizing that basically helps us monitor our objectives and key results. So those kind of key, those 1 to 5 year objectives, they expand, empower and educate. They've then got subsection objectives that are on a kind of more annual basis that then have key results related to them. So that's us making sure that we're accountable for what we're doing, that we're making sure that it is focused on actually achieving that goal. So when we say we're going to educate health professionals, well, how exactly are we going to do that? And, you know, it's all of those things that I won't bore people to death with the inner workings of this strategy. But yeah, in essence, that's the stuff that we're getting. OKRs is now our new lingo all the time.
Thanks, Philippa. I think you mentioned a really important concept in what you were talking about there, and that's the concept of change. And I think people, the human condition is naturally averse to change, in my experience. So I think it's really important when you change things, that you explain to people why. And it never ceases to surprise me how, you know, in the world, so many decisions are made, but people don't tell you why. And it's such a critical thing. And I think that's why this podcast is so important. It's part of our communications to people as to why we're doing what we're doing and why we've made the decisions that we've made. But Philly, I'm going to stick with you for a couple of questions before we go back to Bella. Was Encephalitis International the only choice?
Yes. So this is Ava's brainwave in terms of Ava, the feedback Ava was getting, I'm speaking for you, Ava, was very much, you know, Ava travels a lot internationally, you know, builds networks with lots of different researchers, you know, medical communities and members throughout the globe. And the feedback we were getting was that, well, you're in the UK, you just serve, you know, it's Encephalitis UK, it's what you do. And we were kind of like, no, it's only us pretty much. And the world, you know, we service the world in essence. So during this process, she suddenly sent me an email, I think in the middle of the night, he sent me an email just going, I think we need to be Encephalitis International. And it's like, yes, it was for me. It was like, I thought about it for 5 minutes. I went, whoa, I hadn't thought about a name change. I was just busy focused in on a vision and the objectives. And then was like, oh, it makes perfect sense. It's absolutely the right next step. And then from then on, you know, once we were bought in, it was kind of like, well, let's talk to everyone else about it and see what they think. And we started drafting up. We worked with a great company called Latham B. Brown that helped us kind of re-look at what that logo should look like and everything like that. So we've done a whole branding exercise alongside the objectives and stuff. So what are our new colors? What does the logo look like? And that took a while because we were really respectful of who we were before and the kind of power that has for a lot of our members. And, you know, they associate with our logo, with our name and all of those kind of things. So we wanted to make sure that we did it in a really respectful way so that we were still encompassing what we're trying to achieve with our brand and logo, but kind of taking us to that next step in terms of that international global presence. So it's been really good fun, quite frankly, and we've had lots of great feedback. And oh my goodness, the staff voting on the logos was great fun. It was like the X Factor, people voting, and so we've had some good fun with it as well.
Well, you've segued us into, I think, probably what was going to be my very next question. We have this new logo. I'm told we've got this amazing new website coming. So it's all go at Encephalitis International. So tell us a little bit more, Philippa, about what's happening over the next few weeks.
Yeah, so on the 13th of December, we will have launched our amazing new website. So behind the scenes as well, and it's been a long process. We've been working again with Lazenby Brown, and they've been building our new website for us. We very much wanted it, want to reflect the new brand and our new vision and everything we're trying to achieve. So it will look and feel very different. But we also wanted to make sure that it was much more accessible. It had that inclusivity. There's going to be features in it that we didn't have before. So we'll have different landing pages for different countries that are much more tailored to the needs of those countries. It's just more accessibility in there. Translations are much easier to get hold of. It's cleaner, simpler. You know, a lot of the feedback we got on our website is it's brilliant. It's got so much in there, but it's quite hard to navigate. It's also going to improve, again, technical jargon around SEOs. And you're probably going to ask me what that social optimizing, Bella knows what that is. She's going, oh, I don't know what that is. I just say SEO, but basically mean that people can find us more. We're struggling, you know, there's a lot of noise out there on the internet and this, that, and the other, and people aren't necessarily finding us. And it's always hard for any organization to get their brand profile up. So the new website will help us with all that. So more people that have been affected can find us more easily. So all of those things, it's just going to help us do better, basically. It integrates with our databases better. Our appeals can be run through there. Just generally, it's just a bit more whizzy and a bit more exciting. Yeah.
And what does our new logo look like?
Well, I'm hoping Andy, who is our amazing comms manager that kind of edits our podcast, is going to do a whizzy thing where it's going to pop up on the screen or something like that, because he's very good at his edit tools, very creative. So it's still a brain, because people still don't know that encephalitis is a brain-related condition. So it's a brain, but it's got the three parts, which we felt in the three different colours that represent basically educate, empower and expand, which are core meaning for, you know, reason for being basically. So and then with our new name, and it just looks very clean and fresh with colours that kind of reflect our work. So, yeah.
Very exciting indeed. Final couple of questions for you both. Bella, you know, what was it like? I mean, you've touched upon this briefly, but what was it like working with the Encephalitis Society? And did anything in particular strike you about that process of collaboration?
The thing that's really, really stood out the most to me through this whole process is just the breadth of what you do. It's, you know, people, I think I had some misconceptions over how charities operate and how they work. And it's sort of like you raise some money and then you do some nice stuff. And you help some people. That is not how it works. This is a serious organization doing serious things. You've got people funding bleeding edge research that's going to be, you know, that's really, really completely novel and innovative. Then you're running sessions with people that have been impacted, and you've iterated on them, and you've worked out the best way to help empower people, you know, to work. And that's led to that evolution of the word empower being how you help people by helping empowering them rebuild their lives. You're pros at fundraising, you're pros at running events. I've heard Philippa's been mastering her curtsy when meeting the royal family. You know, the very, very, very wide range of things you do, and all at a really, really high. I think that's sort of probably been the thing that's really stood out. And then the other one is just the quality of your team and the passion. Every time I have any engagement with you, it just comes through so strongly. They're really good at what they do. They're super smart and they care so much about it. And sometimes in my line of work, that is not the case. So it's really, really inspiring and refreshing. And I think that's wonderful. And then of course, there's this ambition to do better. No one's resting on any laurels. What you achieve and have achieved is phenomenal, but there's this drive to go further and to do more, because that problem is still huge and we're some way off solving it. And there's that sort of fire in all of you to fix that. So those are probably the things that I'd pull out.
Oh, thank you, Bella. That makes I know I'd speak on behalf of Philippa, but makes us both, you know, super proud and very humbled. I'm very privileged to do what we do, and very proud that Philippa's helped me, you know, build this incredible team. While I've been off jaunting around the world trying to fix some of the stuff and coming back and feeding back really into what some of the issues are, you know, Philly's really taken the lead on the creation of this new and rather monumental change for the society. But, you know, back to you, Philly, last question to you. This is an exciting end to the year, to the end of 2023. And comes ahead of our 30th anniversary in 2024, which I mentioned earlier. What can you say about any plans that we might have to commemorate this rather epic milestone?
Yeah, all exciting stuff. I think just to kind of to put into context as well, you know, the work that's coming up in this next, you know, we've talked about the World Health Organization that very much came, you know, work we're doing, that is incredible. And it's on an international scale, and we will see different ways through our work with that we will help save lives across the globe. And we're going to see that in the next 30 years, hopefully all come into through fruition. So that's really exciting. And all based off the global report that we pulled together. I mean, it was a massive piece of research. I make it sound like we pulled it out in 2 days, and very much led by Ava and Dr. Julia Granerod as well, alongside many of our other SCI panel as well. That was just an incredible report that, you know, made the World Health Organization stand up and listen to the work that we're doing, and has helped us in this journey of reflecting into Encephalitis International, that we want to be in the next 30 years. You know, we want to still be here doing what we do. So for celebrating it next year, because I think it's important to celebrate milestones, is we're definitely going to be having some form of party next year. So watch this space around that. Yay for parties. Chris, we need to celebrate. You know, our people have been through an awful lot. It's every right to celebrate that and look to the future as well and what we can be doing for that. We've got an amazing World Encephalitis Day campaign coming up in February. So 22nd of February, we will be launching a campaign very much focused on that first objective, educating health professionals. I don't want to reveal too much now, but yes, exciting plans for World Encephalitis Day. And then we are also very much focusing in for our 30th year around climate change and the impact that we are seeing with the climate impact and the change that's happening around the globe and how that is causing more encephalitis. So watch this space around that as well. So many, many big projects happening next year that are very much focused on these new objectives. It's lovely to have the clarity of thought about where to put our energies. There's lots more coming up. They're just two of the main ones happening. But yeah, busy year ahead.
It is indeed, as ever, a busy year. I think you sent us a list yesterday, Philippa, of all the things we've got to do before Christmas. But yes, for those who are fans of this podcast, we actually do have a pod coming up on climate change. So watch this space, where we're going to explain a little bit more about the relevance of climate change to encephalitis. I'm going to finish the podcast up now just by asking both of you if there are any other comments that you'd like to make or anything that you'd like to say before we finish up. I'll start with you, Bella.
So it sounds like the hot ticket for next year will be an invite to the Encephalitis International 30th birthday party. So I'll have to see if I can wangle myself one of those. Nothing to add except to say that thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to be part of this process. And I'm so excited about the clarity you've got over your future and what that's going to enable you to achieve. And I'm very excited to stay involved and help in whatever way I can. So great job, Ava and Philippa and all the team.
Well, thank you, Bella. You'll definitely, there is a ticket with your name on it, that's for sure. And we're very grateful to you and to Stellify for all the work that you've done with us to help us to get to where we are. Philly, any final comment from you?
Well, want to say thank you to Bella and, you know, Tim and the whole team at Stellify with their amazing tech that's helped us, but just, you know, being able to delve into Bella's mind has been amazing. She's very humble, but she's very, very knowledgeable and has lots of expertise in this area of work. And like you said earlier, just to be able to work with somebody that also gets the cause and gets what we're trying to achieve, it's just, you know, we won the jackpot with that. So that was fantastic. But just to say, I'm just so excited about our future. It feels monumental, but the next big step in this charity's work and what we're trying to achieve. I remember one of our trustees saying the same. It just feels like it's the time is now, the time is right, and it's just so exciting. And I genuinely can't wait to see what we're going to do next.
Well, absolutely. I completely agree with you, Philippa. And I want to say thank you, you know, to you for leading this huge piece of work. And also to our, you know, you mentioned there to our trustees as well. Actually, none of this would get through if they weren't such a fantastic group of people, very supportive of our staff group and of the changes that we, you know, that we propose to them and hope that they're going to agree to, and with some guidance, you know, that they've been absolutely fantastic. So thank you for taking the time to join me today, both Philippa and Bella. For our listeners, the Encephalitis Society or Encephalitis International remains at your service. And so if you need any support or information, our teams are, as ever, there for you. Go to encephalitis.info for contact details or to chat online. We hope that you've enjoyed this podcast. And as always, if you can support our life-saving and award-winning work, we would be extremely grateful. Please visit encephalitis.info/donate. So listeners and viewers, until our next podcast, we bid you adieu.